From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
That sop is very sudden. It's just like all of a sudden, like a goddamn exclamation point in the middle of everything. It's kind of like, boom! Yeah, hey kids, it's Friday night. It's LP Faust. I'm your host. Wow, so much to go through, so little time. Yeah, the pressure is on now. So LP has got two more five-star reviews going up over on Apple's podcast section. So go figure, man. The reviews are starting to come in. The downloads are happening. And now all of a sudden there's a pressure to have some sort of like professional decorum and sort of stuff on the show. And I mean, we're going to go ahead and go down that direction.
How about new?
Right? Right? Is it ever going to happen? I'm just kind of curious. Hey, Carlos, do you have any thoughts on that? I'm just...
No.
Yeah, probably not anytime soon. But that's okay. We'll go ahead and just soldier forth. But now it's like, wow, it's starting to get weird. So here we are in our 99th episode of Joculation on this Friday night. There's one show left until the official 100th episode of Joculation. And there's so much shit going on, let me tell you, behind the scenes, that everybody's going to be surprised, even LP, because has LP been prepared?
How about new?
Probably not. So at any rate, we'll just go ahead and, again, soldier forth. Important things to know about yet 99. I'm kind of asking myself, where in the hell did the other 98 episodes go? Have I been really doing it this long? And just think, kids, right? We're on episode 99 of Joculation, and before this, there is another show that LP was on called Voices from the Mountains. I mean, is that show even archived anymore?
How about new?
LP's never prepared for a show, man. You know something? One day, like, I've got to sit here and actually videotape the angst and freaking annoyance of putting together shows, right? One of the funnier things is I'm sitting here reading a review, and it's like, the host makes it so effortless when he's doing comedy. I'm like, you know, I want to know something? One day you should fucking see what it's like when I'm putting my fist through the monitor going, when is it going to come together? That doesn't make any fucking sense. And like 30 minutes before the show, I'm like, oh, cool, I finally finished, right? Yeah, you know what? It would be comedy, but it's true. Listen, important and current events going on right now, right? LB was sitting here thinking to myself, you know what would be really great? It turns out that Kevin Smith, if you've ever watched Clerks 2, he's been doing a movies pop-up around the place, you know, complete with, like, onion rings to rule them all and hater tots and all kinds of shit like that. Well, it turns out, and I didn't know this until yesterday, that the movies pop-up is here over in Denver. And I was like, holy shit, man, I've got to go over there. And you know something? For those of us that are plant-based, they've actually got vegan options. Can you fucking believe it? I'm just kind of like amazed. At any rate, so you can go check out Kevin Smith's movies. Is LP going to go over and check it out? I'm just
How about new?
No, because I don't feel like going ahead and paying $29 to go in and reserve my space to walk in on the pop-up set and then spend some more money to go get myself some hater tots. I mean, even though their hater tots are cool, are we going to go ahead and do that? Absolutely not. Why? I'll tell you why.
I like money.
And I'd like to keep my own. That's the whole reason. But if you're so inclined, I believe Milwaukee is up next. Go check out moviespopup.com. You can go ahead and register, buy tickets, spend your $29 to go in to Kevin Smith's pop-up restaurant. Hopefully not get COVID, you know, it just... But, you know, I've been told, according to all the signage and shit up there, they're going to go ahead and take exceptional care, even though everybody's pretty much vaccinated, right? That you're not going to go ahead and actually get them. So Nine's asking, do you actually eat them? You know, Nine, let me tell you this much. If you've not watched Clerks 2, in my opinion, the humble opinion of your host, that's like one of my favorite comedy movies that's out there. if you watch the whole series, and you don't even really have to of all of Kevin Smith's movies, if you just watch Clerks 1 and Clerks 2, the themes that run through there, and yes, Jay and Silent Bob have their own special section inside that store up against the wall, and you can buy some of their products. So, yeah, it's like, nope, can't do it. Nope, no TV, right? All right, kids, so listen, let's get on with the show here, right? So I'm sitting here one day earlier this week, and all of a sudden, invasively inside my Twitter feed, pops up this whole thing for Twitter Blue. It's almost like, I don't know, some cheap, like, advertisement off of, like, one of the live cam sites, like, except with you know, no music whatsoever and just demanding a whole bunch of fucking money from you, $3 a month. So you got this Twitter Blue product that just popped up, right? I'm going to spare you the long discussion and diatribe about all this shit, and let's just zoom in on it, right, on what matters. First off, do you feel like bookmarking your posts? I mean, does anybody bookmark their posts?
How about new?
Right? Do you really care about your fucking analytics and how many people are not paying attention to
you? How about new?
But you know what you probably would care about is you'd probably care about the fact that this is the only feature that will actually allow you to delete tweets. Now, there is a caveat. There's a time limit on it. So the way that it works is it's not like you can go ahead and necessarily, you know, post some unctuous shit up there and, you know, say a whole bunch of shit to offend everybody and 3 days later back off and say, you know, that was probably a bad deal. Let me go ahead and remove that. I mean, can we go ahead and do that?
How about new?
No, we can't. So what it does is it gives you like a time bomb. It lets you sit there, and I don't know what the maximum value is, but I found it to be humorous that this shit is being rolled out just in time for election gaffe season. You know what I'm saying? So that way, when one of the candidates posts some stupid shit up there that, you know, like this last guy over in, where was it, Wyoming, that's like, oh, yeah, you know, I wound up going ahead and fucking a girl when I was like, you know, 16 and she was 14. And we had a love child and I left her at 18 and she killed herself at 20. When you decide to go ahead and share that much of your story up there, then at least, even though you may think it's bad, somebody that's over on your team might go, oh, that would probably be a bad thing to go ahead and put up there. You know what I'm saying? And they could just, like, run inside there, get rid of it, hope it goes away, and if it doesn't, you know, shout out things like...
That's a scam!
Yeah, so there you go. So election gaffe season, just in time for Twitter Blue. If you feel like wasting some money for a bunch of shit you'll never use except maybe the delete feature, that's what you want to do, and I really don't see why you do the delete feature anyways, because technically you could go ahead and delete your tweet. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a waste of fucking money. So that being said, inside that feed, conveniently around that time, all of a sudden I get, you know, my feed is polluted with no more stories about the Duke of Sussex, Mr. Prince Harry over there. And he was apparently on an episode of, like, Armchair Expert podcast, and he described his life in the palace as, like, a cross between the Truman Show and a zoo. Yeah, well, let me tell you this much, Harry. Considering what you're doing right now, it's really more like an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I mean, hold on a second. Listen to me 1 second. Give me a little bit of space to go ahead and sort of do this stuff. Stop and consider something for a second, right? It's got a lot to do with it, because really there are a bunch of fake celebrities on both sides that are popular for doing nothing, only at least when you're royal, you get to take taxpayer-funded money, and you get to go out there and do a whole bunch of shit, and you don't have to go ahead and, like, I don't know, bust the internet with your ass every 5 seconds, and, I don't know, like, you know, put a sex video out to actually get some attention. Now, here's the thing that's kind of interesting, is they've got very similar, like, you know, histories as far as how they came about. But the most important one is the rebranding phase, what turned them into who they are. So, for instance, the House of Windsor, which is right now what the royals are, they really were the House of Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha back over before World War I. And then, of course, when World War I and anti-German sentiments came around, all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, we got to rebrand that thing, right? Well, if you stop and think about it, it kind of reminds me of how, like, the House of Kardashian came about, right? First, you had, like, what was it? What's-his-face Kardashian, who was part of the OJ team and all of that stuff. And at that time, like, Kris Kardashian and her clan were, like, all in the place of obscurity. And, like, you know, I think it was, like, what's-her-face Kanye West's former wife, Kim Kardashian, was sitting there as a stylist to Paris Hilton, who, of course, to gain her own fame, went out and had a sex video, and bam, next thing you know, like overnight, boom, she's just gotten this fantastically awesome celebrity wannabe that everybody wanted to be. So much so that you could just imagine, right? Kris Jenner sitting in the corner watching this whole thing. She's thinking about how somebody, you know, one of the Kardashian girls is going to need to fall on a dick while videotaping to make the family relevant and actually, like, bring that celebrity that they're missing into their life. Kind of like, you know, a soldier on a battlefield jumping on a grenade to save the rest of them. And along comes Kim Kardashian. Boom! Sex tape, bam! All of a sudden, much like the royal family, they went ahead and suddenly, you know, celebrity everywhere, right? Well, check this shit out. Recently, there's a lot of allusions that are happening, right? We've got some similarities that are happening. So just recently in the news, both of them came out, and for similar situations. So for instance, over in the palace, right, all of a sudden what came out was after, you know, Prince Chucky going ahead and visiting Jesus' house to go ahead and order up a few black people with a side of white guilt. Well, it turns out that apparently there are some memos that came out that said that, you know, ethnic minorities were banned from office positions in the 1960s. Now, according to The Guardian, the Queen's courtiers placed a ban right up until the late 60s, which forbid, quote, colored immigrants or foreigners to hold positions of office. The palace even negotiated controversial clauses with the government, which exempt the royal family from racial and gender equality discrimination laws, laws that are still in place today. While people of color at this time were forbidden to work in clerical roles in 1966, the magnanimous Queen's chief financial manager said they're still permitted to work over in domestic roles, you know, like scrubbing the fucking toilet bowls, going back over inside of the kitchen where they can't be seen, you know, shit like that. And of course, in the modern era, Prince Chucky has evolved the monarchy towards a more inclusive process of maintaining the monochromatic look and feel of the front office, while just hitting up the In-N-Out Burger at Jesus' house to order up a few minorities with a side of white guilt while maintaining some proper social distancing from the plebs during some insincere photo ops to go ahead and make it happen. Well, interestingly enough, right, the Kardashians, who are our freaking version of this fucking ridiculous monarchy, well, apparently what winds up happening is Kim Kardashian's having a little bit of problem with some minorities as well. Apparently, she's being sued right now for, like, wage theft and all kinds of unctuous shit. So she was sued by her former gardening and maintenance staff after allegedly not paying them on time, withholding wages for tax purposes without reporting them to the government, and refusing to pay the extra hours worked. She didn't allow the employees to have meal breaks, those fucking plebs. And on top of that, one worker says he was fired after asking for his overtime pay and requesting meal breaks. And another worker, who was a minor at the time of employment, claims he had no work and he had to work more than maximum allowed hours for an underage summer employee. Now, of course, true to form, right? The Kardashians did the exact same thing that the fucking House of Windsor did. So Kim Kardashian's spokesperson said, not my fault, third-party vendors responsible, right? And meanwhile, all the workers are just sitting there, yeah, wondering when they're going to go ahead and fucking get paid. But you know something, I suppose Harry might have a point, because, I mean, the taxpayer money, after all, taken from the state, taken from their plebs to go ahead and prop up their lifestyle, it's kind of like dropping a quarter into the fish feed box over at the zoo to hurl that unctuous shit at stuff to eat. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like let them eat shit. But hey, the best part about this whole thing is, you know, between the royal family and freaking Kim Kardashian and the Kardashian clans, hey, we live in a fucking reality TV world, a TikTok world, and you know something? It's coming so fast and so furious that, in fact, there are people like this 40-year-old dude who's so obsessed with TikTok, he forgets about his family. So a woman has sparked a debate online after confessing her 40-year-old husband is so obsessed with TikTok, he can spend hours on end scrolling through his phone when he should be spending time with the kids, right? Yeah, somebody do a sex tape for Hive. It'll be good to publicity. Oh, qua. Quote, my husband has an obsession with TikTok, and he's 40, by the way, not 14. He takes his phone to the bathroom, and he'll spend ages just mindlessly scrolling, she said on Reddit's Am I the Asshole forum. I'm constantly having to go and knock on the door. Are you okay? Are you going to be long? Will you come and help with the tiny humans? It's a pain in the ass. However, it's the most recent incident which has sparked the debate. Quote, I was making a full roast dinner and saw him heading off upstairs. I said it'll be ready in 20 minutes, don't be long. I set the table, finished cooking, plated up the kids to the table, and just thought, I'm not going to seek him out. This is ridiculous. So instead of going upstairs to call her adult husband, she decided to see how long it would take for him to come down on his own accord. Are we ready, kids? 2 hours and 10 minutes.
I mean, what the fuck?
Bro, are you giving birth? Are you shitting out a fucking ark? I mean, what the hell is going on? Did you do the fucking blue dye challenge and shit out a Smurf and you're just like trying to capture the essence of it over on your fucking TikTok account? I mean, shit, man. I'm just curious. In that time, we had finished the meal. I had cleaned the kitchen floor, done the dishes, done a load of laundry, and the kids were halfway through a film. All I'm saying is, listen, man. We need to have a moment of understanding for your husband because, one, he's probably trying to get away from you, but two, as we've learned over the freaking, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks over inside this show, dude, TikTok challenges are challenging. They're tough. They're time-consuming. It requires a whole lot of effort to be put in. There's a lot of humiliation that's got to be happening over there. You've got to go ahead and risk your fucking life. You are very ungrateful that he's trying to go ahead and sit there, shit out a Smurf, and capture the essence of it so we can get about 6 more likes. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. You've got to go ahead and put your heart out there. And besides, at this stage of the game, TikTok is fucking taking over. Pretty soon, you never know. Your husband might be putting up a resume over on fucking TikTok because, I mean, after all, TikTok is now launching a job services app for Gen Z. I'm just kind of like,
what the fuck?
Dude, let's go ahead and get into it. So TikTok is testing a tool for brands to recruit employees. The pilot program is designed to help people find jobs on TikTok. Let me just say that again. The pilot program is designed to help people find jobs on TikTok.
Into this world.
And connect with companies looking to find candidates. It's also meant to help brands use TikTok as a recruitment channel. TikTok will ask candidates to post their resumes to the freaking TikTok profiles. All right, man, listen. You're saying that you're going to go ahead and ask people to like post their resumes to sit there and fucking become like, I don't know, a TikTok influencer or get a job at TikTok? Doing what? Like, artificially, just like being click traffic, you know, like those artificial clicks and shit? You two can work at a click farm for fucking TikTok. Is that what we're talking about? So let me see if I understand. This recruitment video is going to highlight all the most humiliating special moments captured from your profile while completing the all stupid TikTok challenges. You know, like gorilla gluing your pubes down in an attempt to slick back and straighten them for that new Hot Couture Pube Microkini Summer Challenge. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Or maybe the all-new take on the Blue Dye Challenge. The problem with most TikTok challenges is that they're solo, right? So this challenge could be the first team challenge. I mean, why chlorinate the pool with harmful chemicals to make that pool a beautiful hue of blue when you and your friends could just sit, drink Blue Dye, and pee in the pool together until the fucking water turns blue? I mean, that's a win, right? But, you know, when you're sitting there looking at, like, interview process and stuff like that and getting a job, I mean, we got to take it to the next logical step. If you're sitting here capturing your whole fucking life and all its humiliating components on TikTok, then, of course, they're expecting not just your resume. They want TikTok videos of, like, all the fucking, like, interview prep that goes on, right? All those things that you got to do to go ahead and get yourself ready to go ahead and put that video up to try and get a job at TikTok. You know, part of it, of course, is all the grooming process. Like, kind of like what this fucktard did when he went ahead and swapped out his shaving cream for hair removal cream. Stuff like that, right? So, Ronald Walker lost an eyebrow, part of his beard, and some of his hair after confusing the hair removal product for his usual shaving cream. The 22-year-old from Gold Coast, Australia, said that when he shaves, he bizarrely covers his whole face with cream. All right, I'm not even going to touch that statement. We'll just press on, which isn't usually an issue. But he ran out of shaving cream last week, and he grabbed what he thought was another bottle and applied it liberally all over his entire face, leaving it there for 5 minutes, kind of like a Bukkake video. Quote, I ran out of shaving cream, mate, but there was another bottle there that said to leave on for a few minutes. And with shaving cream, I usually put it all over my face, because I'm a retard. I started to burn, so I started panicking and sent a photo to my brother, who told me it was hair removal cream, and he'd hoped that I used it all over my face. Now, Ronald posted the video incident on social media, where it has since racked up over 5,000 fucking views. I'm sorry, not views, shares. Fucking shares, okay? 5,000 people said, hey, look at this fucking idiot, you know? And hey, this is great for like a job interview over a TikTok, right? So let's imagine that I believe that this story wasn't manufactured for views. Let's just go into that alternative universe, because do we believe for a second? I mean, just...
How about new?
But we'll go into that alternative universe. So he steps into that steaming shower, right? He pulls the thing back. You see the steam roll out over him like a fucking movie. As he's getting ready to go to work. And he goes inside there. He steps out looking like an oversized version of fucking Dr. Evil's cat Bigglesworth.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, where's all the fucking hair? Right? I mean, that's not weird. I mean, I'm feeling that, like, alone that won't land the opportunity with TikTok. I'm thinking, like, our disposable celebrity du jour, you know, he's got to step up his game a little bit more to work for TikTok and Botox his scrotum. I mean, that'll be a fucking win. Hey, let's face it, man. The negative space of a smooth, hairless muffin top and slobber chops of his Pillsbury Doughboy composition is kind of thrown out of whack with a wrinkly sack that leaves the whole experience a bit disjointed and incomplete for the viewer. I mean, can you go ahead and... Are we all on the same page? I know, that's a little strong, LP. That's a little strong. Well, I mean, it would have been more epic if he just jumped into his parents' shower and, like, accidentally lathered his face up with his dad's erection cream. That would have been fucking fantastic. You know what I'm saying? I mean, could you imagine he'd jump out with his head looking like something from a Dr. Pimple Popper episode? Now, that would have been a fucking memorable, disposable celebrity audition video for TikTok, and it's guaranteed that they'd pick you up at a fucking instant. You know what I'm saying? But then, of course, you know, there's other pieces that we got to go ahead and take into account. We can't just go ahead and make ourselves look like some fucked up Dr. Evil Bigglesworth cat kind of thing and without any hair on our body. No, we've got to go ahead and try and change our eye color. And why would we go ahead and use contact lenses when we could just do the TikTok Bright Eye Challenge, right? I mean, the challenge involves filling a plastic bag with hand sanitizer, bleach, shaving cream, and jelly before holding it against the eye for about a minute, claiming it will alter your eye color.
I mean, what the fuck?
All right, I got to stop there. All right, I kind of can get my head around sanitizer and bleach. Shaving cream's a bit of an effort, right? What the fuck is up with the jelly? What the fuck is up with the jelly, man? I mean, what? Hey, look, put some strawberry jelly in it. It needs some fucking color or something, right? Get the fuck out of here with this shit. Get the fuck out of here with this. All right, let's move on, shall we? One of the original uploads shows the substances lined up next to a Ziploc bag and gives instructions how to create the mixture with a caption, "Tell me you guys don't do this too." The concoction is then held against the person's face before being removed and appears to show the iris to have changed color to bright yellow in comparison to the other eye, which remains dark green.
I mean, what the fuck?
Holy fucking shit. The challenge has since been replicated with one girl falsely claiming to have achieved similar results, gaining more than 1,600 comments, including, "Does it hurt and does it go away?" Oh, fucking God. Let me just say, can we have a moment of silence for all the stupidity that's just, like, killing the brain cells in every rational human being's eyes or, you know, fucking brain? Holy shit. The user then later uploaded a second video to say, oh, by the way, it's been faked, telling TikTok users not to put too much bleach near their eyes, as you wouldn't want to go hurting yourself. And thanks for all of the likes and the fucking comments and making me popular again. You know what I'm saying? So despite all of the admissions, the video challenge remained on TikTok, gaining thousands of views, and allegedly have since been removed. And of course, do we believe that they've been removed?
How about new?
Yeah, look, man, if you won't go ahead and take down, like, people killing themselves in the Blue Whale Challenge, what in the fuck makes you think that we would go ahead and believe for a second you'd be taking down videos that would cause, I don't know, permanent blindness? I mean, does that make sense?
That's a scam.
Fuck no, that's not gonna fucking happen. But I'll tell you what I am waiting for, right? Here's what I'm fucking waiting for. I'm waiting for the next iteration of this challenge, right? And it would be the Bright Bunghole Challenge, involving industrial degreaser like Comet, Brillo pads, and some meat tenderizer. I mean, after all, why risk exposing yourself and your butthole to those terrible butthole bleaching chemicals in the medical day spa for like 5 times the price when you can do it in the privacy of your own home for like a third of the cost, and best of all, it's organic, right? You could scrub that brown eye pink, leave a little more raw, fuller, poutier sphincter thanks to the gentle application of the meat tenderizer. After scouring the shit out of the brown eye, we can keep that sphincter perfectly pink and inflamed like your very own baboon butt, so you can show the world that you've completed the Bright Bunghole Challenge. It'll be like unlocking an achievement award for your profile, man. It's the best fucking TikTok challenge ever. And AMR says that I should put disclaimers in front of all of these ideas. I mean, are we going to put disclaimers in front of these ideas?
How about new?
Because that would be impeding natural selection, right? We wouldn't want to do that. And of course, remember, that's just prepping for your fantastic new TikTok interview. They're also going to be looking for those ever-so-important special skills that show that you have the relevant skill set to make this happen, right? That you, too, can be part of the TikTok family and contribute. And what better way to go ahead and do that than when you go inside, they're demonstrating the skills of this fantastic guru that went viral for spraying insecticide into his mouth and is now dead. Iwan Murda, also known as Ki Galong, whatever the fuck, died, but his death allegedly was unrelated to the insecticide stunt, according to his relatives. The guru, who hails from Bali in Indonesia, was reportedly spraying Bagon insecticide into his mouth in a video that went viral. As Ki Galong's brother, I rebut rumors that Ki Galong died of poisoning of insecticide. He actually died from a heart attack. Dude, natural selection is a thing. I mean, spraying right in your fucking pie hole like Banaka when you're trying to make a move to seal the deal. Only instead of trying to get laid, you're a fucking guru. I mean, look, is raid even on the Ayurvedic approved food list for self-proclaimed yogis and gurus everywhere? I'm just fucking wondering. You know what I'm saying? I'm just wondering. I'm also wondering, why not chrome-colored Rust-Oleum spray paint instead? I mean, when you do that kind of shit, at least, you can recreate the scene from Mad Max Fury Road, lie about carrying your sheep to the gates of Valhalla personally, and ride Eternal all shiny and chrome. See, now that, kids, that is guru gaslighting done right. What they're doing here with fucking raid to the face, that's amateur hour, right? We've got to go ahead and take it to the next level. So that person probably could have made it through to at least the final, like, interview and then fumbles the ball at the goal line like that. But then again, you know, there's other things that we can do. For instance, why go ahead and just stop with raid when you can dry scoop like this person who is fucked hard over on OnlyFans, who went ahead and is a TikTok influencer and, you know, had a heart attack because she did that. So this dry scooping craze involves swallowing pre-workout powder, which is an energizing effect, instead of diluting it with water. The supplement's typically made of amino acids, B vitamins, caffeine, creatine, and artificial sweeteners. Now, ingesting it dry is supposed to intensify the effect and hype it up. It wasn't just a quirky video for TikTok and OnlyFans user Brittany Portillo, though. I started having a heavy feeling in my chest and a slight pain, but it wasn't too bad. I thought it was maybe anxiety or a bad panic attack, so I decided to just ignore it and push through my workout. Do we believe for a second that she actually works out? I'm just saying, you know.
How about new?
But we'll push on here, right? She started to feel nauseous and lightheaded, so she went home to take a shower and then headed to work. Things started to get worse again. I started sweating a lot. I was drenched, even though I was wearing a bikini. All right, let's stop there. You're wearing a bikini at work and you're drenched in sweat? Oh, God. Listen, first off, you didn't drive to work if you're in a fucking bikini. I'm just saying. I'm making an observation on some of the inconsistencies in here. But you know what? Let's pretend we believe you, because this is a TikTok interview after all, right? All right, where was I? Oh, yeah, here we go. Then my chest pain came. And this time it was more intense. The pain went to my back and to my left arm, and my left arm went slightly limp. So I knew those were symptoms of a heart attack. I called 911 and the ambulance came. Well, you know, if you're going limp after like 4 hours, that's okay if you got some Viagra. You know what I'm saying? But this isn't that. So at the hospital, Portilla went through a series of tests, which ultimately determined that she had a nemesti, whatever the fuck that is. But I'll tell you what it is. It's a type of heart attack that's less damaging to the heart. So unfortunately, this time, you know, like natural selection kind of fumbled the ball. But, you know, it's good to know how awesome those pre-workout supplements sold at the local GNC and manufactured in some Uyghur forced labor camp, you know, in China with like leftover hazardous waste from strip mining rare earths really are. You know what I'm thinking, though? Now I'm thinking that we should take a page from the Romans and the manufacture of aqueducts and shit, right? Hey, Eileen. Where every engineer who designed the aqueducts of ancient Rome, they had to stand beneath the arches holding up the aqueducts whenever they put them in service. So it's like you built it. Now you're going to stand underneath it when the water goes rushing overhead. And, you know, if it collapses and falls, maybe you should have done your math better. Except instead of that, what I'm thinking is we should have these fitness influencers dry scoop their excessive or their exclusive branded supplement lines before being allowed for sale in the open market. You know what I'm saying? Just a thought in fucking passing over here. So that way we can go ahead and just make sure that all these things that are not tested in laboratories or anything, because it's just like, hey, what's this shit? Ah, it's macaca. What's this shit over here? I don't know. It's like black tar heroin. Yeah, just throw it all together, man. We'll call it like an energizing supplement and all that sort of shit. And yeah, boom, you can dry heave that shit also. You know what I'm saying? We'll just go down that road. Hey, Shada 73 bot saying hi in Theta. How are you? But again, while this is a fantastic, wonderful interview piece right here, is it going to probably make the cut?
How about new?
No, too much. I mean, it requires too many things. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily show the skill sets that one would need to succeed and become a TikTok employee. Instead, what will probably work is the latest and greatest trend that's going around on TikTok, which is condom snorting. I mean, that's after all what condoms are for, right? Shove them up your nose, pull them out the back of your throat, over your teeth and out your mouth, right? Well, imagine uncoiling a condom and stuffing it up one side of your nose and then plugging it in the other nostril and inhaling until the long piece of latex slides down your throat. Then you reach back and pull it from your mouth. And it's a game called the Condom Snorting Challenge. And not like other dangerous dares that have swept the local media, teenagers have been doing it. In fact, these days your teens are doing everything, like for views and subscribers, according to Stephen Enriquez, a state education specialist in San Antonio. As graphic as it is, we have to show parents because teens are going online looking for challenges and recreating them. Even if you manage to successfully pull the condom out of your mouth, inhaling a condom up your nose could be very uncomfortable and potentially quite painful. You know something? If you were to go ahead and pull out the piece of passage here that says, you know, inhaling a condom up your nose and just insert anal sex, you would have the exact same thing, right? I'm just saying. Just an observation. Would it really be worth all that just to get more likes and views? I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. What do you think they're in it for, man? Of course they're in it for likes and views, because they're disposable celebrities. I mean, shit, I remember the good old pre-TikTok natural selection-inspired challenge days. You know, people would keep their snorting activities to nasal spray and drugs, which had the side effect of, like, relieving congestion and inspiring some great music, according to Isaria. You know what I'm saying? So, holy shit, man, can you believe it? This is what we have to look forward to. These are the jobs that will be, you know, they'll be there in the future. This is employment after the fucking pandemic.
I mean, what the fuck?
Thank you, TikTok. You've gone ahead and fucked everything else up. Why not just fuck up the job market on top of it? We appreciate your help. Thank you so much. All right, kids, I'm a little parched. I've been doing this for a little while. It's time for a break. Guess what? I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. You know, I need to cue up more music, kind of like what Krim does, because I need to get something that's, like, I don't know, longer than fucking 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. You're listening to Joculation. I'm LP Faust over here. So one of the cooler things is, like, the feedback I'm getting, right? The reviews and stuff. One of the things that is common across like all threads, everybody who's reviewed, it's like, he rags on TikTok. It's fucking great. And I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, dude, you guys are Gen Z. I'm fucking ragging on your generation, man. Holy shit. But the cool part is people fucking get it. And that's great because we need a party, man. All right. So at any rate, we went ahead and talked about getting a job for TikTok. Now that they're going to open up the fucking TikTok job market, like, that's going to go ahead and, like, you want to talk about disposable wage serfs?
How dare you?
That's about as awesome as it gets, right? Hey, look, we killed off another, like, 50 of them with the Blue Whale Challenge. Awesome. What are we going to do next? We're going to go ahead and have them shit out a Smurf with blue dye, and then eventually they'll get a tumor and die. Oh, cool. Population control. Bro. Well, listen, man, in this particular segment of the show, normally we talk about all the cultural shit. We're going to go ahead and talk about relationships for a second. That thing that actually just kind of, I don't know, it grips all of us. Now, some of us may have gone through different types of the shit we're about to talk about here. Like, let's talk about it with, you know, the cheating episode. That's what we'll call it. This is the cheating portion of it, right? And we'll talk about the more mellow stuff that have occurred during this whole thing. Like, for instance, when a tattoo artist had a very awkward moment when a woman decides, you know that tattoo of my, like, life partner over here? Yeah, I'm not going to get it. I know he just got my tattoo, my name tattooed on him, but I'm not going to do it. So Jamie Lowe recalled a time when he was ready to give a couple matching tattoos in a video that has now been viewed more than 10 million times on TikTok. I'm going to stop right there. Why am I fucking going ahead and doing a podcast when I could just do stupid fucking videos like this and get 10 million views overnight? I'm just asking the fucking powers that be.
I mean, what the fuck?
God damn, I got to go work in a tattoo parlor. All right, moving on. The pair had arrived in their appointment with plans to get the other half's name inked as a permanent reminder of how much they love each other. But he was left gobsmacked when the woman dropped the bombshell that she's not having it done. Just moments after he completed the inking design on her boyfriend, when it was the woman's turn to sit in the chair, she wasn't having it done. Understandably, he was confused until she revealed, see, that was the plan, but then I found out he's cheating on me with my best friend, so I thought it would be nice to give him a permanent reminder for the moment and for me the rest of his life. Oh, damn. Uh-oh. No. Can't do that. At any rate, so rest of his life. So, you know, that's pretty tame. Fairly easy, right? No big deal. And then you come across somebody who's more of like a serial cheater, right? Sort of like this dude who was like 39 years old and had like 35 serious girlfriends at the same time.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, where do you fucking get the time? I'm just saying, man. So Takashi Migawa, 39, pretended to be serious about each of the 35 women he was dating at the same time, giving them all different dates for his birthday, which is fucking ingenious when you think about it. Migawa has now been accused of conning the women out of 100,000 yen. Sounds like a lot of money, but it's $942 USD because, you know, I mean.
I like money.
Combined through money spent on birthday presents, clothes, and cash. Right? The suspect allegedly met his victims while working for a multi-level marketing firm selling hydrogen water showerheads and other products. All right, wait a minute. Are you fucking kidding me? He reportedly targeted single women and began a relationship which suggested that marriage would be on the cards. His plan was exposed when the women formed a victims association and reported him to the police in February, and I'm just asking myself,
I mean, dude, what the fuck?
Dude, I'm just kind of laughing, right? So you have the hydrogen showerhead dude coming in and putting on the move, talking about, I'd love to have a relationship with you, and I'm serious about getting married, and I want to go ahead and have a family and provide for you, or be a co-contributor. And it's like, dude, you work part-time at a multi-level marketing firm selling scams for a fucking living, allegedly. I mean, what? Who would have ever thought that being in an Amway pyramid scheme would be the milkshake that brings all the ladies to the yard? You know what I'm saying? I'm just fucking, who knew? Who knew? Now, imagine if this dude was like in a Goop Labs MLM scheme and sold ladies their own personalized crotch rot scented candles that allegedly explode like Gwyneth Paltrow's did for like Kim Kardashian. He might have managed to get like another $4.50 in like birthday Happy Meals with like a free toy inside. You know what I'm saying? But you know, sometimes, kids, love is just so strong that it can't be broken apart. You know, sometimes you find the one, and it could be late in life. It could be early in life. And you know what? So much so that when you're early in life, you feel that strong sense of connection. And you're so committed to the person that maybe you, I don't know, join a school trip to visit him over in prison. That's right, kids. Julia Castle shared the story with her 408,000 followers on her TikTok page about how she went above and beyond to get the man's attention after he ghosted her. She said they'd been getting along well before all communication suddenly stopped. And she refused to let it go because she's a psycho and messaged all of his fucking friends. And she was shocked when they said they hadn't heard from him either and were probably worried that you were going to go ahead and, I don't know, fucking build a shrine to him after over his dead body. But Julia discovered the man was in prison. So, undissuaded, she hatched a plan to go see him, which saw her join her school's law society to go on a field trip to the institution in hopes that she can find him.
I mean, what the fuck?
All right, let me say that again. She joined her school's law society so she could take a field trip to the local prison in hopes that she could find him. And in her own words, turns out he was, and I was in high school during this time. Like, I know I'm stupid, but I heard the law club was, like, going to take a field trip to the local county jail. I joined the law club, went to every single meet, participated in every single event, so at the end of the semester, I could go to the local jail for a field trip.
I mean, what the fuck?
So in the end, I didn't get to see him. The moral of the story is, never choose a man, especially one who's in jail, because he's no good for you, especially when you're in high school. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. TikTok, I fucking hate you. You're 408,000 people that are subscribed to this driveling nonsense. And she's sitting here influencing the future freaking generation. Hey, I'm an influencer and a disposable celebrity. By the way, I have a boyfriend in jail that doesn't want to see me. So I took a field trip with my local law class to go see him. What in the fuck, man?
I mean, what the fuck?
I don't even know what to say. I know what I got to do. I got to take a break because that's enervated me. And we need to feel happy again. And I need to go ahead and get some more whiskey. So I'll tell you what, we're going to do all of that stuff. Hey, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation, I think. Got some GBH there, man. Not the actual drug, but the band. You know what I'm saying? Hey, kids, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché. You know all that stuff. We got our circle of intimacy with us in the house.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us.
So the first part of the show, we're talking about getting jobs over a TikTok. And then the next part of the show, we're talking about, you know, sort of like how cheating is destroying the future and the alternative relationships that have sort of developed from it, you know, and also sort of like the alternative methods of solving said grievances. Well, apparently what winds up happening, kids, is people have trouble keeping their clothes on. And I'm sure it's nothing new to hear. It's usually not on TikTok, or maybe sometimes it is. But, you know. Lately, it seems like it all starts with the people over in the Quebec region of Canada. I'm not judging, Julia. I'm just making an observation. For instance, like William Amos caught on camera urinating just weeks after his nudity gaffe, right? So a Canadian politician is temporarily stepping down from some duties and is, quote, seeking assistance after being caught on camera urinating during parliamentary proceedings a month after being caught on camera naked during another virtual appearance. I'm thinking to myself, you know, when you're looking and I was like laughing her ass off right now. I'm just thinking to myself, you know, maybe he was moved by the topics and had to go to the bathroom. Well, apparently there's more to the story, kids, because, quote, last night, while attending the House of Commons, oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. This is his, like, mandatory self-shaming tour, okay? So we've got to do this in a very, like, mellow voice. Last night, while attending the House of Commons proceedings virtually in a non-public setting, I urinated without realizing I was on camera, said William Amos, a member of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's ruling Liberal Party. I am deeply embarrassed by my actions and the distress they may have caused anybody who witnessed them. I apologize unreservedly. So, kids, yeah, sorry. Exactly. Mr. Amos, right? You're thinking to yourself, dude, he got caught taking a whiz. What's the big deal? Well, there's a little more to the story. Mr. Amos was talking on the phone at his desk when he decided, you know, to urinate in a cup of in a coffee cup rather than pause or end his call. I mean, like anyone would do, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
Mr. Amos first came to the media attention in April after a screenshot was leaked to the media showing him completely naked on an internal government video feed. At the time, Mr. Amos said he was, quote, changing into his, air quotes, changing into his work clothes after a jog and did not realize his camera was turned on.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, let me tell you something. You can't sit there and say, whoops, my clothes spontaneously combusted after my jog, right? I mean, hey, can we go ahead and do that? I'm just thinking,
how about new?
No, man. You got to go ahead and, like, do something else, you fucking perv. But you know what? You know what would have been fucking perfect? If he'd made sure to capture, like, the final shake on cam for the audience in Parliament after he finished peeing in his coffee cup. I get the distinct impression he'd probably shake it more than once. You know what they say after all, right? Shake it more than once and you're playing with it. I'm thinking he needs to consult Jerry Banfield for some PR tips on how to recover from this fucking disaster. I mean, public admissions of, allegedly, self-fellatio haven't seemed to put a speed bump in his career at all.
How about new?
So, I'm just saying, Amos, talk to Banfield. He'll go ahead and set you straight. I mean, he's still making videos. Nobody thinks he's a perv over on YouTube. So go for it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we could go ahead and just stop there because public nudity is a fucking problem. But you know it's probably going to be the greatest Memorial Day sales, you know, gimmick you could possibly do for cars? It's like when naked women from Minnesota are arrested for masturbating in someone else's car and refusing to fucking stop. You know what I'm saying? So we got a 35-year-old Minnesota woman, Jennifer Dorrit Weber. She faces numerous misdemeanor charges after she was found completely naked and, quote, digitally penetrating herself on May 9 inside of an SUV that didn't belong to her. Police were summoned to the scene by those observing Weber as she pleasured herself in someone else's vehicle. Damn her! And as the police arrived, actually, it's more like,
how dare you?
As the police arrived, they observed Weber, who was walking and jumping around naked, getting in and out of vehicles at motor businesses in Mankato, about 80 miles south of Minneapolis. As officers attempted to interact with the woman, she did not stop masturbating.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, that's like extreme concentration. Holy fucking shit, man. That's impressive, right? It's like, stop, man. I'm going to tense up. You're going to make me lose it. Nope, she was unfucking abashed. She was first situated inside a gold SUV where she was reported and then later started pleasuring herself inside of a gray pickup truck with the door wide open. Quote, throughout this time, Weber was making nonsensical statements and continued to masturbate.
I mean, what the fuck?
Well, you know, some places offer like free premium coffee and like Wi-Fi at their locations. I mean, others offer masturbating females high on bath salts with like every car purchase. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe just fucking, you know, complimentary bath salts with every car purchase. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. And I mean, why stop there? Why stop there? Why just go there and say, okay, that's pretty bad? How far could it go? Well, you know, the definition of journalism has changed quite a bit over the years, right? And most people are trying to do gonzo journalism, so much so that a journalist had sex during a radio interview for a swingers club. You know, I mean, dude, what's better than getting laid on the company dime? I'm just saying, you know what? Orgasms are a thing. Last week, we talked about how there was that one company over in Sweden that gave people a mandatory 30-minute masturbation break and even provided a fucking room to wank off in. Now, what they're doing is they're sending the journalists out to go ahead and interview swingers at a freaking swingers club. And why stop there? Why not just get laid? So Louise Fisher could be heard moaning as she chatted to the participant during the two-minute segment that aired on the Danish national radio. I'm going to stop there. Dude, how fucking awkward is that? And, you know, here's the thing. On there, in that link, it actually has the audio of her basically having sex while she's interviewing them. And they're speaking in whatever language, you know, Dutch or whatever. And in the background, you can just hear this dude plowing her like he's plowing a fucking field. Like, and the whole time, it's like, and so, you know, you can go ahead and listen to the fucking interview. But let me digress and continue here. One journalist apparently gave it a go during a broadcast about a swingers club by having sex with a man she was interviewing. I don't have a boyfriend. That definitely made it a lot easier. My mother just thinks it's funny and laughs. My father thought it was really cool.
I mean, what the fuck?
Fisher said she hadn't planned to have sex during the broadcast, but added, "For me, it's very natural. It's part of my job to give an insight into a world that not everyone has access to." She said it relaxed the guests, I bet it did, who were initially reluctant to take part in interviews and seemed nervous around her and the microphones. I'm curious whether or not they were, like, intimidated by the size of the microphone and whether or not you were going to, I don't know, shove it into an orifice or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, what the fuck?
But I digress. So what did her station manager think about it? Well, Radio 4's head of news, Tina, whatever her name, told Danish site BT that the station backed the reporter's move. And all I can say is, dude, can I go ahead and sign up for a job where I can just, like, I don't know, have sex all day while I'm, like, on the fucking Zoom call or whatever? Or what the fuck is this, man? What the fuck is going on?
I mean, what the fuck?
Oh, my God. And you know what the best part about this whole thing is? Can you imagine now all the kids in high school racing to sign up for the fucking high school newspaper after reading this story? It's like, once upon a time, it was a bastion for the nerds and the people that were, like, easily forgettable and who the fuck wants to do that job. Now they're going, wait a minute, you mean I get to fuck people while I'm doing reporting? Hey, how can I sign up for the fucking newspaper? Look, dude, you're not going to go over to the swing club. You're underage. Can I fuck my girlfriend in the room? Shut up, man. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, it's the end of the world as we know it, man. All right, man. I'm going to take a break here because, well, I'm parched. And it's time for a break, and I got to get a refill of whiskey. And I just realized I've got to go ahead and put, like, more five-minute songs on like Krim does because, hey, then I can go ahead and actually have a minute. You know what I'm saying? All right, kids. I'm Opie Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening, this very, very strange evening. You're listening to Joculation. Let's try that again. You're listening to Joculation. Dude, I think we should just, like, preserve the environment and just go with, like, you know, body glitter or something, or, like, body paint instead of, like, butt crack leggings. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a green thing, right? We want to go ahead and be environmentally friendly. We want to be conscientious of the environment. Last thing we want to do is have a bunch of people, like, growing cotton and poisoning the countryside with all of that stuff, right? We just need to put a little more body paint in there. And, you know, no offense, hey. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. LP Faust here, cultural attaché of the stars, your host, all that sort of stuff. You know, Circle of Intimacy is kind of going in and out here every so often.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us.
Been an eventful night on this very unprepared episode of yours truly, so you know, what's up, make do and push forward, right? So we got what, 30 minutes left? Where did the hour and a half go to? Because wow. You know, I got into this conversation with AMR the other day. I was like, you know, we got into this conversation about me being down over inside the basement, doing some work and all that sort of stuff, because working remotely, I mean, it's fantastic, but you talk to yourself an awful lot. And I said, you know what? Given how much I go ahead and do this show over here, I've gotten really good at talking to myself and filling up like 2 hours with needless banter. So I'm like the absolute perfect, like, party guest to go ahead and bring over. You know what I'm saying? Now, I will say you better make sure you've got the right crowd, because what I've got inside of my brain as far as like conversation pieces might not go ahead and work well in an awful lot of different places.
How dare you?
You know what I'm saying? But hey, look, we could talk about that a different time, right? So we talked about several different things, jobs over at TikTok, you know, cheating, you know, and some of the consequences and ramifications thereof, and a couple of other things. And, you know, kind of in this segment, things got a little bit strange, so we'll have to go ahead and enjoy them for a minute. So generally speaking, you know, you always take a look on the videos with rap stars, and every time they're always in the club, and when they're over at the titty bar, they're always over there with their briefcases open, throwing like $100 bills and shit like that. Unless, of course, you're Usher, in which case what you do is you just create your own counterfeit bills with your face on them. So then that way when you're tipping the strippers, they don't know any fucking better. At any rate, so Las Vegas-based dancer Pisces accused the R&B superstar of giving her dollar bills in denominations of $1, $20, and $100 with his own face on them on her Instagram stories.
I mean, what the fuck?
Way to go there, Usher. Way to go there, you fucking cheap bastard. The bills appear to be in promotion of the upcoming Usher, the Vegas Experience residency, as the dancer wrote her Instagram story. Quote, ladies, what would you do if you danced all night for Usher and he threw this? The question, of course, led to Usher being clowned on social medias. As for where the Usher dollars came from, allegedly, according to sources close to Usher, they say that somebody he was with, meaning not him, put the money on the stage to serve as both a gag and a promotion for his residency in Las Vegas. The money was not intended to freaking...
Did I make myself clear? Because I am not going to write this shit down.
And you know how it is, right? The money was not intended to serve as payment. Well, I'll tell you what. Apparently, Pisces thought it was, and she had a few words that she wanted to let you know.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Now, allegedly, the club's like, no, no, he went ahead and tipped real good. We want him to come back, right? I'm curious what the thoughts are of the dancers that were at the club. Hey, dancers, you think that you'd like Usher to come back and give you more of his, like, funny money with his, like...
How about new?
With his autograph and his fucking face on the bills, and you can't go ahead and cash them? I'm just curious. Hey, Usher, what if you went to go ahead and pick up your haul from your latest show and somebody went ahead and made their own, like, bullshit paper notes with their face on them, handed them to you, and waved you off, and as you drove off into the sunset, you're like, hey, man, this is a baboon's ass on the front of these fucking bills. These are bullshit bills. What in the hell, man? Where's my cut, right? And, of course, you go back there, and they're going, ha, 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 ha. No, man, it was meant to be promotional. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Usher.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So the moral of the story is, when the rappers come into the house, kids, if you're going ahead and taking off your tops and shaking your titties at them, expecting you go ahead and get a big payout and maybe a little bit of, like, I don't know, Dom or Cristal, guess what? The question is, will you be getting that? The answer is, you know,
how about new?
Probably not. But you'll get some complimentary bullshit counterfeit bills, and you can go ahead and spend some money that you never made over at their new Las Vegas experience. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. But that being said, man, that wasn't the best scam ever. One of the best scam ever had to go to the Italian artist who just sold an invisible sculpture for 15,000 euros. Yeah, that's right, kids. Salvatore Garau, a 67-year-old artist from Italy, has achieved a remarkable feat. He's sold an invisible sculpture for the sum of 15,000 fucking euros. All right? I'm just like...
I mean, what the fuck?
I don't give a fuck about your NFTs. I don't give a shit about any of that. That doesn't impress me. When you can go ahead and sell invisible art for 15,000 euros, bro, can you please put a seminar together so that I can learn how to do this? I don't give a shit if it's like a Carlton Sheets and No Money Down seminar or whatever. Bro, I need that seminar. I'm just saying. Garau's sculpture, listen to this bullshit, by the way. Christen, io sono, which is I am, is an immaterial sculpture, which in so many words means it does not exist. Or that if it did exist, then it only exists in the mind of its creator. With many art skeptics criticizing the artist's curious creation. But Garau's response is that he's not sold nothing, but has sold a vacuum.
I mean, what the fuck?
So you're talking like a Hoover or some shit like that, right? I'm just like saying. No, let's listen to his interpretation of the vacuum that he fucking sold. Let me do this in Italian, right? The vacuum is nothing more than a space full of energy. And if we empty it, then there is nothing left. According to the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, that nothing has a weight. Therefore, it has energy that is condensed and transformed into particles, that is, into us. When I decided to exhibit an immaterial sculpture in a given space, that space will concentrate a certain amount of density and thoughts at a precise point, creating a sculpture that, from my title, will only take the most varied forms. After all, we don't shape a god we've never... Don't we shape a god that we've never seen? Hey, listen. Let me tell you something right now over here, my epistemological fucking friend, my like deep thinker over here. I love the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to finish first. Garau had another one of his invisible sculptures, Aphrodite Bianja, which is Aphrodite Cries, being exhibited in New York, a piece which is another immaterial sculpture that supposedly rests on a circle drawn on the ground, which in the, is the only thing that's visible, and the artist claims that with these works of art, he started a new, small, authentic revolution. Bro, you're a fucking modern-day P.T. Barnum. Listen, I fucking think that it's brilliant that you're showing what a fucking racket and how ridiculous art is. And moreover, that you could go ahead and hose a bunch of, like, you know, people that would like to pretend like they've got some culture and sophistication. That's fantastic. But listen, when you're sitting here invoking the Heisenberg uncertainty principle and that you didn't sell nothing, you sold a fucking vacuum. And according to the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, that vacuum has weight and therefore is something relevant. Bro. Bro.
Fuck you fucking fuckers.
I know. Look, you got to work it to sell it, right? I get it. And dude, I think that that's fucking fantastic. But can you please just get the fuck out of here with your nonsense already? You know what the best part is? I was over at the MoMA like years back. And there was a woman that was a very famous artist there that what she wound up doing was her art was that she would sit with people in a chair in a white room that everybody was crowded around and stare at you for a fucking minute. And that was art. I have a friend that is a humanities teacher of art, talking to me about what an incredible and like stunning piece of art this is. I'm like, she's staring at somebody for a fucking hour, or excuse me, a minute. Dude, if I was a guy doing that shit, I'd be a perv, and they would lock my ass up in jail, right? But she does this shit and it's fucking art. And the best part is that shit was stretched out the door, around the hall, through the next three galleries, all the way to the fucking entrance to the Museum of Modern Art, and I'm just shaking my head saying, how does somebody fucking do this? Yes, it is Mariana whatever the fuck her name is. It's that chick. So yes, Julia, I saw her actually. I saw her doing this nonsense. And I'm just like, I don't fucking get art, man. But listen, don't get into some epistemological argument about whether or not you're fucking, you know, whether or not we can potentially have art here that might have mass in some relative sense in a pretend world in maybe like an alternative universe of quantum physics where, you know, where like men won't have micro penises by 2045 and everything's okay and cock rings don't exist that people get their dick strangled in. Wait, it just said, what the fuck, dude? Get out of here with that shit. But that scam, while it was great, the single greatest scam that I read about this week. No, it's not an NFT, but we're close. What it turns out to be is it's a dude who just sold fractional shares in himself. Alexei Mazmej dreams of being a Silicon Valley demigod. And the 23-year-old Parisian sold himself via an ICO last week to reach that lofty goal. No, he will not be going ahead and providing like samples to be grown in some genetic laboratory creating salami out of him. No, he's selling fractional shares in himself like he's a fucking timeshare, right? So he's selling tokens called the $Alex so that true believers in Alexman, whatever the fuck his name is, can buy fractional shares in him and in his success. How about
anybody
that?
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
So far, it's been sizzling and 30 investors participated in the ICO Alex. But he generated $20,092 for his voyage across the Atlantic, he claimed. How about that? Ah! So, talk about the greatest fucking exit scam ever. the token sale ended on April 12th, so only 5 days. This is what you got out of this whole exit scam. Alex holders are promised a share of any money he makes in the next 3 years, and he'll pay up to a total of $100,000 over 3 years. The rest of it, fuck you, it's mine. Alex holders can also vote on some of his life decisions. Probably not the important ones, but, you know, the ones that he thinks matters and you should have some access to. Alex holders can also request that he promotes them on his social media channels. And at last count, Alex had 3,258 followers on Twitter, 517 followers on Instagram, and 500 connections on LinkedIn. But he promises to devote himself every ounce of his energy to opening up a new business. And he has plans to create a decentralized finance startup that focuses on consumer savings. Not only could you get up to 5x ROI in 3 years, but you could profit from Alex Token's market price too, he proclaimed. So I'm just sitting here asking myself, what the fuck? Dude, you know something? I don't hate him. I actually admire him because he came up with probably the single greatest exit scam that he will not be sued for that ever was created because, dude, you went ahead like a tard and got into this and said, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and jump onto this ICO. Reminds me of, like, you know, fucking 2017. Banana coin, for instance. All right, man, we're going to corner the fucking market in bananas because it's so big and the bananas, too. Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. I've got a hustle like you can't even imagine. Ellen Bukstel may not be punk rock, but she is definitely punk. That's all I've got to say about that. All right, kids, so we got, what, like 9 minutes left, so you know what that means. So let's go ahead and run through the rehash real quick here, kids, because we don't have a lot of time. So we started out the show here talking about movies opening up over here in Denver and why LP wasn't willing to go ahead and pay $29 admission to go check out movies, even though I really would love to. Twitter Blue, the biggest scam that's out there, aside from the stuff that we talked about earlier. We talked about the Duke of Sussex and his whole Truman Show experience. Now, there's a comedian on Hive now for logos painted on your tits. How awesome. How awesome. It would be great if we could go ahead and actually get him on TikTok. Maybe we get some people in Hive. We talked about the Duke of Sussex, Prince Harry, and the Kardashians. We went through an entire comparison of all of that stuff and how they both have an issue with minorities and at least one of those two parties actually doesn't bother paying any of their workers. So, you know, it is what it is. And then we talked about a 40-year-old husband who is so obsessed with TikTok he forgets about the family, sits on the shitter for about 2 hours, falls into the toilet bowl, and then gets upset when he's not called to dinner. We also talked about how TikTok is now launching a job service for Gen Z. We went through a couple of the ideas for the interview prep. We talked about the butcher who went ahead and used a hair removal cream on his entire face, which, of course, made him look like Bigglesworth, Dr. Evil's cat. And we talked about how that sort of, like, fucked everything up with the negative space of a smooth, hairless muffin top and some slobber chops of his Pillsbury's Doughboy body. You know what I'm saying? No. Spit it out, LP. There we go. We also talked about the TikTok Bright Eye Challenge, which would go ahead and be fantastic for any of these, like, you know, getting ready for an interview series type things. Then we talked about special skills relative to the position. We talked about a guru who went viral for spraying insecticide in his mouth and how he died from it, allegedly not from the spray. We also talked about OnlyFans creators who died of a heart attack after attempting a TikTok, or almost died of a heart attack after attempting a TikTok trend of dry scooping. We also talked about the condom snorting challenge, which is now wild and ablaze over on TikTok out there. How awesome is that? Then we talked about a lot of things with breakups and cheating and all that stuff. A tattoo artist who got stuck sitting there as a woman gets ultimate revenge on her cheating partner, letting him go ahead and tattoo her name on him, on his body, and then saying, fuck you, I'm not going to put yours on mine. Then we talk about the dude who had 35 serious girlfriends at the same time. Now is basically being charged and over in prison for, trying to swindle gifts for fake birthdays that he told them. Go figure, he was part of like an MLM scheme, and somehow that brings that's the milkshake that brings all the ladies to town. He also found out about a woman who discovers that her online date is actually in prison and then books a trip inside of her like high school law club to go visit him. We also went ahead and talked after that. We went into discussing the issue with nudity and some of the stupid shit going on. We had a Canadian politician, William Amos, who was not only caught on camera urinating into a coffee cup during parliamentary session, he also like had his clothes spontaneously combust off of him during an earlier session when he was, quote, changing into his jogging outfit, right? Something along those lines. We also talked about the woman in Minnesota who was arrested for masturbating in everyone else's cars and refusing to stop over on a car lot. We talked about a journalist who decided to really delve into the story and become part of the Swingers Club feature and basically was having sex while doing an interview during the entire show. And then from there, we went and checked out a few other things. We went into the fact that Usher decided that he didn't feel like giving money that was actually a negotiable instrument. Instead, he decided to give strippers fake bills with his face on them so that he could promote his, thing that was going on down the street over in his Las Vegas. What is it? The Vegas Experience Residency? And then we talked about this fantastic, brilliant artist who sold invisible sculptures for 15,000 euros and currently has one featured probably over in the New York Met. It's either the Met or the MoMA that is apparently Aphrodite's cries, which is yet another invisible sculpture, which is apparently built upon the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, according to him. And then we talked about the man who thinks he's a fucking timeshare and sold fractional shares into himself over on the Ethereum blockchain via ICO. And, you know, we talked about those fantastic, scams that he's got. But the best piece of everything had to be the fact that he actually was able to get out of this exit scam with like $20,000. And I mean, he disclosed everything that you were going to get or not in this entire ICO. So kids, that's all there is tonight. There is no more. If you enjoyed Joculation, come check us out next time. To everybody that came out and hung with us, thanks for hanging. Thanks for being a part of the show. To everybody that came and left, we'll catch you on a future podcast. Go ahead and check me out on any of the major podcasting platforms. You can get a little LP in your pocket and catch what you didn't miss. Or, excuse me, what you didn't notice. What you did miss. All right, kids. So as William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage as we strut and fret across the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself, why watch the show when you can be the show? I'm LP Faust, your host, checking out. Catch you next week. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.